This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The storm that slammed into the east as a hurricane, then tracked north tonight. It has been deadly. Millions without power in the middle of this pandemic. The deadly storm slamming ashore overnight in the Carolinas, roaring up the East Coast all day today. Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York City. Homes catching fire, a tornado outbreak across several states. Homes destroyed. A mother protecting her daughter, covering her in the bathtub. They survived. The high water rescues tonight, drivers on their cars in New York City. A 60-year-old man killed when a tree fell on his car. And the danger tonight, the downed power lines, the explosions, one right near our reporter in the middle of her interview, and where the storm is right now. We're also following a major headline from overseas tonight, the massive and deadly explosion in Beirut, destroying buildings, at least 60 killed, more than 3,000 injured. Those numbers still expected to rise into the evening hours. And the early clues, what might have been behind the explosion. The president making news tonight, the interview from Axios on HBO, the president on the pandemic, the charts, saying the U.S. is lower than the world, the reporter asking, lower in what? The back and forth that followed about the death rate. And on COVID deaths in this country, the president at one point saying, it is what it is. And news tonight on mail-in ballots, the president appearing to change course, at least when it comes to one key battleground state, Florida. Going back to school, the first wave of students and reports of positive COVID test results. In hard-hit Mississippi tonight, the governor there now ordering students to wear masks. Hundreds of teachers out sick in Georgia. In Indiana, a student testing positive on day one. News tonight after that family, the children ordered to the ground, police saying they thought it was a stolen vehicle. But what's happened now? And U.S. authorities part of the rescue after this SOS is seen from the sky.
This is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. And let's get right to it. Major news on the virus, the horrific and deadly explosion in Beirut, and the deadly storm sweeping through several cities right up the East Coast all day today. There are still tornado watches in parts of the Northeast as we come on the air tonight, and more than 3 million Americans without power now in the middle of this pandemic. Hurricane Isaias making landfall as a Category 1 hurricane in North Carolina in the overnight hours. Winds topping 80 miles per hour, and in one location, wind gusts hit 100 miles per hour. The storm igniting fires, several homes went up in flames in Ocean Isle Beach. The storm has turned deadly tonight. Here in New York City, the damaged trees down. A 60-year-old man was killed when a tree fell on his car. We're also monitoring massive power outages stretching from the Carolinas up to Massachusetts. The close call in Suffolk County, New York. Several people running out of the way as strong winds down trees in their neighborhood. The storm unleashing a tornado outbreak. That mother protecting her daughter in the bathtub. They survived. A hospital daycare center in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, damaged. Several children are being treated for injuries tonight. This system is now a tropical storm. It's racing north across parts of upstate New York and into New England. So we'll have the current track for you and, of course, the damage. And so we begin with our chief national affairs correspondent, Tom Yamas, right here in New York.
Tonight, the winds, rain, and storm surge from Isaias taking lives, carving the East Coast, and hitting major cities in the Northeast as a powerful tropical storm. Trees down across New York City, this one killing a 60-year-old man in Queens.
Strong and damaging winds from Isaias tore through parts of Brooklyn. A line of sycamore trees in this park split in half, the massive branches crashing down and crushing cars below.
The heavy rain quickly flooding roads and trapping drivers on Interstate 76 near Philadelphia.
That was scared, you know, I was fighting because she thought she was going to drown.
Outside Washington, D.C., two cars with multiple people inside swept off the road, some clinging to trees, one on the roof. Teams rescuing them with rafts and an airboat, no one seriously hurt. And across the Northeast, multiple tornado warnings.
Hurry up, it's right here.
This funnel cloud spotted in Ocean City, New Jersey, and homes throughout this Delaware neighborhood torn apart.
But the really bad part of this area is this house right here. But the whole back house of the house is gone.
I saw the tree lifting up out of the ground. And at that point, that's when I saw the whole back of the house coming off of the property. First thought is, thank God that we're here. God spared my wife, and my boys.
Powerful winds from a likely tornado in Birdie County, North Carolina, flipping cars and splintering multiple homes. Two were killed, 20 hurt. Tanisha Thomas was home with her daughter.
We made it in the bathtub, and I put my body over hers. That's when it hit, one day at a time.
Did you lose everything?
Everything.
East of Richmond, Virginia, homes knocked from their foundations. Isaias making a dangerous late-night landfall just north of Myrtle Beach as a Category 1 hurricane with sustained winds of 85 miles an hour. Those powerful winds drowning out our Rob Marciano on Carolina Beach. Plus, life-threatening storm surge flooding homes, burying cars in sand, and filling homes with debris. In Oak Island, North Carolina, residents riding out the ferocious winds and surging water in the dark.
House shook. First time I was in a house that ever shook.
Power lines sparking fires on Ocean Isle Beach, multiple homes engulfed, thankfully empty as most had evacuated.
That's just incredible. Let's get right to Tom. He's live in Brooklyn tonight. And Tom, we can see that partial collapse behind you right into the second floor of that building. But I know you were telling us earlier there was another major worry today with these high winds as first responders were still out there answering calls.
That's absolutely right, David. So the winds picked up here in Brooklyn. This building collapses. The firefighters rush in. They realize nobody's inside. That's the good news. But then they also realize the winds are still picking up. This could all be projectiles. They shut off the block. Luckily, nobody was hurt here, David.
Yeah, that is always the worry with debris. Tom, thank you. Of course, all of this playing out as hospitals treat patients in this pandemic, as families try to stay safe, and now millions are without power as we head into the night. And right here this evening, the moment, the explosion from down power lines in the middle of our reporter's interview, illustrating the danger as we head into the night. Stephanie Ramos from New Jersey.
Look at that.
Hurricane Isaias spawned waterspouts along the Jersey shore and brought with it wind gusts of over 100 miles an hour. We started feeling it in Cape May, New Jersey, just after 9 a.m.
That washing machine feeling, that's what we're in right now. It actually just calmed down in the last 5 seconds, but the wind, the rain, the sand just really whipping around.
Those winds knocking down traffic lights, trees, and power lines, putting more than 3 million in the dark across the storm zone, more than a million just in New Jersey.
Should you have to go out and come across a downed power line, please immediately report it to emergency services.
Someone reported this sparking line, and while we were interviewing emergency manager Jerry Enderwise, it exploded. No one was hurt.
This is basically a result of the storm. Power lines down, causing fires and explosions in the neighborhood.
Correct. That's correct. So you saw what can happen.
Tonight, hospitals up and down the storm zone that were dealing with the coronavirus are now dealing with this storm too. These coastal communities, no stranger to powerful storms and all kinds of weather emergencies, but this time it's different.
To say this is not an easy endeavor in the midst of a pandemic would be the understatement of the day.
David, the city manager tells us electrical teams were delayed in getting to this area because of damage across this region. The governor of New Jersey says that is the challenge they're seeing all over the state. These crews will be here through the night and into tomorrow until power is fully restored. David.
All right, we're just glad you were standing a distance from those power lines. A good reminder for everyone as we head into the night. Stephanie, thank you. Of course, this storm is still on the move at this hour. So let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee with a late track. Ginger.
That storm just raced up the East Coast so fast today, and I want to take you straight to the map because there are still tornado watches out for parts of New England, including Massachusetts, New Hampshire. You can see some of the moisture that has now moved almost to the Canadian border, so that's going to be gone in the next couple of hours, but the winds are still gusting behind it, anywhere from 30 to 60 miles per hour, so you're still going to have that from Boston up through Massachusetts into upstate New York. We're going to be keeping an eye on that, and of course, the timing of it all, we're going to say goodbye to Isaias. By tomorrow, David.
Yeah, good riddance. All right, Ginger, thank you. There are awful images coming in from Beirut tonight after a massive and deadly explosion. Buildings destroyed, at least 60 dead, more than 3,000 injured, and those numbers are expected to rise right into the night. And just before we came on this evening, President Trump said this looked like a terrible attack, in his words. But what authorities in Beirut are now saying about early clues of a cause. Here's our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, tonight.
This was the moment an entire city shook to its core as a massive explosion erupted in Beirut port. The blast occurring around 6 p.m. local time. Eyewitness video showing a fire and a series of smaller detonations. Unconfirmed reports suggesting perhaps fireworks. But what happened next was far bigger. A devastating explosion sending a mushroom cloud across the city. The fronts of buildings ripped off. Cars, shops, apartments shattered. The streets showered with debris for miles around as bloodied and shell-shocked citizens staggered through blackened streets.
Hospitals are overwhelmed with casualties. The Lebanese health minister saying scores are dead and thousands injured. The healthcare system already overwhelmed by rising COVID infections and an economy in freefall. Tonight, the questions begin about what caused the blast and who's responsible.
Just unbelievable pictures tonight. Ian with us from London tracking this. And Ian, President Trump, as I mentioned, just said, quote, it looks like a terrible attack. We know that other U.S. officials have called this a horrible tragedy. So what do officials in Beirut say right now was behind this blast?
Yeah, well, David, firstly, they're not suggesting that it was an attack. It's now pointing towards being just a tragic, terrible accident. The country's interior minister saying that highly explosive material may have been stored on the site, even pointing towards ammonium nitrate, which is highly combustible, often used in bombs, and in sufficient quantities capable of causing this level of massive destruction. David?
All right, Ian, our thanks to you tonight. And back here at home this evening, and the president is making news after an interview with Axios on HBO. More than 156,000 American lives have now been lost to COVID. And at one point in the interview, the president saying the U.S. is lower than the world. The reporter asking, lower in what? You're about to see the back and forth. And on COVID deaths in this country, the president at one point saying, it is what it is. Here's Terry Moran.
With his own task force members calling the pandemic extraordinarily widespread across the country, President Trump, in his HBO interview with Jonathan Swan of Axios, still insisting all is well and suggesting nothing more can be done anyway.
Right now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And you it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control as much as you can control it. This is a horrible plague that beset us.
More than 156,000 Americans have died, far more than any country in the world. But the president keeps saying it's the testing that makes America look bad.
You know, there are those that say, you can test too much. You do know that.
Who says that?
Oh, just read the manuals, read the books.
Manuals?
Read the books.
What manuals?
Read the books.
And charts in hand, cherry-picking statistics on deaths from the virus.
Right here, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world.
Lower than
the
world?
Lower than Europe.
In what? In what?
Take a look. Right here. Here's case death.
The facts, while the U.S. has a relatively low death rate among those infected, case deaths, of the countries most affected by the virus, America has one of the highest COVID death rates per capita. But the president didn't want to hear it.
Oh, you're doing death as a proportion of cases. I'm talking about death as a proportion of population. That's where the U.S. is really bad. Much worse than South Korea, Germany, etc.
You can't do that.
The interview with Axios and Terry with us now. And Terry, I do want to get to the other major headline from the president today. After railing against mail-in voting, he appeared to change course on this, at least when it comes to one key battleground, Florida, saying that in that state, mail-in voting is, in his words, safe and secure.
That's right, David. He apparently wants his mail-in votes, especially from those elderly voters in all-important Florida, to count, while he continues to undermine and try to sabotage mail-in voting in other states. The facts are clear. Mail-in voting is nothing new. It's been going on since the Civil War. Tens of millions of Americans use it, and mail-in balloting fraud is just incredibly rare. So the president still fights on many fronts, but his votes coming in the mail, he wants counted. David?
All right, Terry, we know you'll stay on this. Thank you. Of course, millions of parents now facing that question of what to do with schools now reopening and what they're already seeing in some schools that have now opened. Here's Steve Osunsami.
In Mississippi tonight, where a handful of high schoolers have already tested positive for the coronavirus and where many children are already heading back to classrooms, the state's governor says he was forced to act.
Today, I will sign an executive order that requires the use of masks by all adults and all children in our schools, unless there is a medical reason not to.
He says he's also requiring face coverings for everyone in all public places, but only for 2 weeks. And he's delaying the start of in-school instruction, but only for older children and in areas with outbreaks. 98% of the ICU beds in his state have someone in them, and one out of every five people tested for the virus is testing positive, the highest rate in the nation. At the University of Mississippi Medical Center in Jackson, they ran out of beds in the ICU weeks ago.
Anytime a bed opens up, there are multiple patients waiting for that bed.
The death rate from the coronavirus across the country this week is 24% higher than last week, according to the government. 28 states are seeing an increasing number of hospitalizations. Outside Atlanta, hundreds of teachers are out sick. The Cranes family in Georgia sent their kids to school today with masks. The father says it was a difficult decision.
I'm a bit concerned. I heard on the first day, half of the children are wearing their mask, the other half doesn't.
I completed my work and everything went well, but I wasn't really happy with the people who weren't wearing masks.
In Phoenix, teachers concerned about getting sick are protesting.
How do we keep them 6 feet apart? And how do we keep them safe from each other?
Teachers in eastern Arizona have already lost a friend. Kimberly Lopez Bird was loved by her students, and her superintendent says he's concerned about reopening classrooms.
I'm scared that somebody's going to die.
Here in Georgia, in Cherokee County, the family of a second grader is learning that their child tested positive for the coronavirus, and school only started yesterday. This means that that child's entire classroom of 20 students and the teacher now have to quarantine at home for 2 weeks. We're going to hear more of these. The school year, David, is just getting started.
Very
David.
Difficult road ahead, Steve. Thanks. There's also news tonight after that tragic Navy accident off Southern California. The Navy now says it has located that amphibious assault vehicle and some human remains following a training accident last week. 8 service members missing and presumed dead now. 16 people on board when it began taking on water. Similar training missions have now been suspended. When we come back tonight, news on that family of 5 children ordered to the ground. Police said they thought it was a stolen vehicle. But what's happened now? And news on a college football team tonight, 28 testing positive.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
We have news tonight on the Rutgers University football team. The COVID-19 outbreak for them worsening. 28 players and staff reportedly testing positive, doubling in the last week. A state health official tying the infections to an on-campus party. At a powerful image today, 3 sailors stranded in the Pacific were rescued after writing a giant SOS in the sand. Take a look. The trio had been missing for 3 days. Their message spotted by U.S. and Australian forces from the sky on a tiny island in Micronesia. They were met on the beach and are reportedly in good condition. There you see the SOS right there that got them the help. Finally tonight, happy birthday, Tony Bennett. Tonight, Tony Bennett marking a milestone. This week, turning 94 years old.
I will feel a glow just thinking of you.
And this evening, so many famous names celebrating him.
I'm in heaven.
Lady Gaga saying, "Happy birthday, you hold such a special place in my heart." And Sting.
Just thinking of you and the way you've lived, and the way you've lived, and the way you've lived your life. Tony Bennett, happy birthday.
Leslie Odom Jr. and his message.
Not only have you managed to preserve your voice, that glorious voice, the God-given instrument that you have, you've also preserved your joy for decades.
And we remember what Tony Bennett once told me not so long ago about the secret of a long life.
I've never worked a day in my life because I love what I do, and I just love the fact that I'm getting away with it.
And Stevie Wonder tonight.
Tony's the best to come in, that's for all time. He's a friend of mine, 94 and doing fine.
And Tony Bennett posting this message tonight for all those who remembered.
Thank you for making my 94th birthday so special.
Happy birthday, Tony. And we love the mustache. I'm David Muir. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.